Hello and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We join today's message, Covenant-Keeping God, already in progress.
You know, as I'm in that barbershop talking to these girls, God is speaking to these girls. Do you know that? Who's that talking out of my mouth? God, absolutely, because everything I'm telling them is the truth, right out of God's Word. And of course, then the other day, I was over there to get another haircut, had a new girl in there. She'd not been there before, so I walked in and her chair was empty, so I just sat down in her chair. She started cutting my hair and I said, "By the way, young lady, you a Christian?" "Yes." "You go to church?" "Yes." I said, "Where?" And she told me. I said, "That's good. That's a good church. Praise God." I said, "Anything good happening in your life?" She said, "Oh yeah, I just had my second baby." I said, "Well, praise God." I said, "How long you been married?" "Oh, I ain't never been married." I said, "I thought you told me you were a Christian." "Well," she said, "I am a Christian." I said, "You ain't a very good one." Somebody said, "How can you be so cruel? If you did this, you wouldn't do it like this." Do you know what's going to happen if that girl dies in that sin? You know where she's going, according to God's Word? An adulterer shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That means, where do you go? Where is it there is to go besides heaven? What's the other alternative?
Hell.
That's the only one I've ever read about. And when it says adulterers or fornicators shall not inherit the kingdom of God, if she's living with a man out of wedlock and I don't tell her, then it's my fault. Her blood's going to be on my hands because I didn't tell her what she's doing is a sin. You know, that's what's wrong with the church today. We don't want to offend nobody.
Amen.
We want to keep our mouths shut. But let me tell you what. If you see people sinning that's in the church and you don't tell them, you go to that old scripture, "Well, judge not lest you be judged." You got to go back and read that in Matthew where Jesus was talking about the world. He's not talking about the church. Paul clearly says in the church, you are to judge the church. Is that right?
Yes.
That's what he says. We're to tell them. So if you, numbers, here's something you never see. You hear this when you go out teaching about John 9, 1 and 2, when people says, "Well, who sinned that this man was born blind, him and his parents?" And I've asked that question whenever people say, "So see, there was no sin." Well, we're in that very time or season right now that was fulfilled back in those days, this time of the tabernacles and atonement. The very, very thing, starting with John 7, is where you'll find all that. We will not tell people when we see them sinning, just like somebody walk and say, "Good morning, sir, how you doing?"
Great.
And I reach up and shake hands with them, and if they're great, that's good. But if they say, "Oh, my arthritis is killing me today." See, that question in John 9, 2 says, "Who sinned that this man was born blind?" See, they knew the blessings and the curses. We don't know them today. We read them and we don't get it. So when's the last time you were sick and somebody shook your hand and said, "How are you feeling?" You said, "I ain't doing too good. I think I'm going to have to go to a doctor this week. I've got a problem with my heart." You say, "Well, why are you sick? Because of your sin or your parents' sins?" When's the last time you heard that?
Not very often.
Not very often. Who sinned that you're sick? See, what Jeff said a while ago, what's God's best for us as His children? To not be sick. Is that right? When we read the Word of God, you'll realize that if Jesus already bore your sin, then how much are you supposed to sin? The Word of God says, "How in can a dead man sin?" I mean, we're not supposed to be sinners. Once we get saved, we're supposed to be clean and pure. There's supposed to be no sin in our life. You're never to look at a woman anywhere except right in her eyes as a child, a born-again child of God, right? That's where you're supposed to look. You're supposed to walk holy and pure and clean in God's sight. And if you will, then I guarantee you won't be sick. You will not be sick. If you'll walk in faith and love, you will not be sick. God's already promised it. So let's look here when He says, "Well, speaks to us again and again, though people do not recognize it." I'm speaking out of the Word of God to these women at the barbershop, and this third one, when she said she had not been married, I told her, I said, "Well, you're not a very good Christian because God told you not to sin. He told you not to have sex until you were married." I said, "Woman, you're living under a curse, and if you died in this sin today, you would die and go to hell." And I said, "The two children you brought into the world, you have put both of those children under a 10-generation curse in their life." Oh, she got mad at me. I told her, I said, "Honey, I'm just telling you the truth." I'm telling you the truth. You've brought two children into the world out of wedlock. They're, according to God's word in Deuteronomy 23:2, you brought two bastards into the world, and both those little bastards are under a 10-generation curse because of your sin. Now, if they don't find somebody who knows how to break that curse, those children will have sickness and disease all through their whole life. Have you ever wondered when you see people, you see one man and he goes through life and he's got a nice place, a nice house and a nice car and a nice wife and nice children. He goes to church. He's got money in the bank and everything seems to be, he's got a golden spoon in his mouth or something all the time. And the guy lives right next door to him. I mean, the guy's sick. His kids are sick. His wife's sick. He's driving an old broke down car. His house needs to be painted and everything else. And what's the difference between these two men? One of them's under a curse. One of them's under the blessings. There's no two ways about it. We live either under blessings or curses. And sometimes you just have to tell people what the sin is. And if you don't tell them, they're not going to know. What do you think would have happened with the little Jenna out there if they had called me and told me? In fact, I'll tell you what they told me when they called the first time. They said, Pastor, we have just heard the story of your granddaughter, Kaylin. How many of you heard the story of my granddaughter? Okay, they had just heard it. And they said, with your faith, we know that if you pray for our daughter, she will be healed. I said, well, that would be wonderful if it worked like that. But I said, that's not the way it works. I said, there's a sin issue somewhere. I said, without sin, there is no sickness and no curse. You know, God don't just say, I'm going to curse you, but I'm going to bless you. I'm going to curse you, and I'm going to bless you. He don't do it like that. What did he say he would, what caused him to curse us? Because of what we sin with, right? That's what he said in both the book of wisdom and the book of Jeremiah, right? If we're cursed and we don't know or find out somebody that knows how to break the curse. In fact, I think how many children in the last 2 or 3 years that we have prayed for right here in this church, we'll be in this church 6 years now in December, the first week of December. And in those 6 years, I could not tell you the number of little children, 15 years and under, that we have broken the curses over, and nearly every one of them was the parent's sexual sin out of wedlock. And when we broke those curses, after mom and dad repented and broke the curses, cast out the spirits, we've had all kinds of awesome miracles happen with those children right here, instantaneously in this church. So if what I'm teaching you is a lie, is God going to honor His word and heal those children if I'm telling you a lie? No, only if I'm telling you the truth. Is that right?
Right.
And so when we break the curse over the child, get the mother and dad to repent, command the spirits to leave, and then speak the healing power of Jesus into the child, and the child is blind eyes instantly opened, or colorblind eyes instantly healed, asthmas and allergies instantly healed. I could just go on and on and on the number of things I've seen God do right here within 5 or 6 feet of where I'm standing. And you know what that makes me think every time I do that and He shows up? It just makes me tremble to think the King is right here in this place. Isn't that awesome? Don't you love it when Jesus shows up?
Yes.
Just like the guy with the prostate cancer, he told me, he said, I got rid of my sin last February. I promised God I would never look at another woman other than her eyes. Do you think that pleased the Lord? Yes, it certainly did. He said, the minute you prayed for me, I felt in my body the healing power of Jesus. And he said, I want you to know, I have not been back to a doctor until this last month. Now, this has been since February. He said, but I feel so good and everything works so good. I thought, well, I'm fine. I'm going to go back to a doctor and just let them check me. And he said, I went back and checked, and the doctor gave me a clean bill of health. He said, there's not a cancer cell in my body nowhere. I'm completely healed. Now, see, he made God a promise. And I prayed for him in faith. When he got rid of his sin, and I prayed for him in faith, the Word of God works, and that man was completely healed. He said he knew he was healed the minute I prayed for him. That's just like right here. A 70-something-year-old woman from Amarillo, right here, just a few months ago. In fact, I tell you what, that was in February also. I know that time gets by, but this elderly lady, young lady, 70-something years old, she came up. You know, I think about people being old when they're 70, but you know, I guess that means I'm only 40. See, so, okay, so I guess I'm young too. See, praise the Lord. But anyway, I'm praying for this woman my age, She comes up right here, and the minute she walks up here, I'll never forget this woman. This woman walked up to me, her right, she couldn't lift her right arm, but her left arm, she walked right up to me and she said, "I know." And I kept thinking she's going to touch me on the end of the nose. But she's shaking her finger right in my face and she said, "I know when you touch me in the name of Jesus, he's going to heal my right rotator cuff." She said, "I have a tumor on top of my shoulder and my rotator cuff is disconnected and I can't hardly even carry a purse in my right hand and I can't raise my hand up no higher than my waist. But I know when you touch me in the name of Jesus, the King is going to heal my arm." And all the time she's saying that, I'm thinking, wow, Lord, this must have been what it was like with a little woman with the issue of blood dragging through the crowd. Yeah. That's the faith this woman had. So I reached up and put my left hand on her right shoulder, and under her blouse was a big old soft something. And I touched that, and it was all soft and spongy. And I said, "In the name of Jesus." And the soft, spongy thing disappeared. Hallelujah. That's what I said. Hallelujah. And at the same, within a few seconds, her right arm, after that thing went away, her right arm just went whoosh, just like that, straight up. And her daughter was standing right here, about 50 years old, and she said, "Mama, you can't do that." She said, "I told you, if you'd take me down there and let him pray for me in the name of Jesus, that my King would heal me." And she said, "That's what happened." Well, in Albuquerque two weeks ago, they were there. Actually, the daughter and the husband was there, but the mother, she wasn't there. But she came up and told me, when I saw her, I recognized him. I said, "Oh, praise God, how's your mom doing?" She said, "Mom said to tell you, she loves you forever." Isn't it wonderful when these women love you forever? I love it when women love me forever because they love me for the right thing. They love me because of Jesus that lives in me. And that's what makes me feel so good, to think they love me. Because she said, "Mom's arm is still perfect. She can do anything she wants to." And she said, "Mom said to tell you, Pastor, that she'll love you forever." Isn't that wonderful?
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will resume at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Covenant Keeping God, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.